Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freundo, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language, and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a rather amazing episode of Nintendo Video Chat. This week, we are talking about a very important Wii U game called Nintendo Land. Nintendo Land will be the pack-in game for many people who pre-ordered the sleek black premium Wii U set. And I believe everybody here in this room today bought that premium set. Here today, we have Audrey Drake.
Hey, everyone. And yes, I did.
Brian Altano.
Hi.
Per Schneider.
I did.
And myself, Sam Claiborne.
Brian, did you? You're leaving us all hanging.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Okay.
Did you? No, Brian and I went in a car together. I think we pre-ordered at the same time.
That's the best way to pre-order a game.
It was very fun.
Get in a car with Sam Claiborne.
That's right. So Nintendo Land is, and we're going to be watching a bunch of Nintendo Land videos on the screen here, and we can even stop and pause and scrub around a little bit if anybody notices
Fancy.
Anything cool. And if you're listening to this over your headphones while running, get home and check this out on IGN or YouTube. We are been making some pretty cool video podcasts recently.
Do keep running. It's good for
And
you.
If you're listening to this at the gym, work harder. Keep going. We
I
believe
prefer
in
low
you.
Impact aerobics. No, actually, I'm a jogger. So.
We'll have Google Goggles so you can watch it while you're running, eventually.
So everybody in Working this room has played this game and played many of the mini games, right?
Yeah.
Who's played the most of them? I've probably only played six of them.
Probably
Audrey.
Me.
I've probably played the least.
So, Audrey, have you played Balloon Trip Breeze?
I have. That's probably my favorite.
That's
probably
the one
my favorite.
That's the one I didn't
play. Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
Well, I've never had the opportunity.
Imagine what you played in 1985, but
Yeah,
prettier. Mm-hmm. All right. It's pretty much the same.
It's got the same theme. Which it is very similar.
You use a stylus to push around.
Yeah,
use
a stylus to manipulate the wind and move your little guy around. And
I still can't get over seeing all their stuff in HD. It's weird.
So
it is.
Let me explain this collection to people who just have no idea what it is. It's really cool. It's 12 different Nintendo franchises represented in kind of a puppet play form, like a it's supposed to be a theme park, right? Mm-hmm. So like your Miis, or I think you play as Miis, right? They're in costumes throughout most of it, where there's like people dressed up as Nintendo characters.
Yeah,
like,
and they're little like toy versions of all of the Nintendo franchises.
It's kind of like a fabricated version of these worlds, but still you're still seeing like some like things that you recognize in HD, like Animal Crossing. This whole game is called Animal Crossing Sweet Day, and you know, it's very simple. You're running around kind of like Pac-Man. One person's finding these other people while they're trying to steal candy.
Yeah, one person uses the gamepad and they play as Booker and Copper, uh-huh. if you recall the guys from the gate. And
that's what they're supposed to
do. Yeah,
it's
funny because you have to...
They look like guards with like spears.
Exactly, yep. That's what they wear in the game.
Are
and
they?
Yep. Yeah.
They're at the exit, right?
But the cool thing is that you control each of them with a different stick. So it's really cool to have to try and... think about both of them as you're
moving them around. It's like a video game on Saturn from 1994. It's like, what are we going to do with... Or not Saturn, but I guess PlayStation 1. Like, what are we going to do with two sticks? Like, how about they both control a character?
Yeah.
And cool,
actually, I played this one before I played the Mario one. And, like, the Mario one is a real letdown after playing this. Because at least I feel this way. It's... You can do so many more things in the Animal Crossing one. Like, the jettison... You have to jettison the candy to run faster when your head is literally full of candy. And then the dual controls are really cool.
That's really cool, yeah.
Because it makes the job of the guy with the gamepad about more than just knowing where everybody is. You have to go like, whoa, you know, how do
you have
I
to think about both sticks. Yeah.
Brian,
it's
have you
really
played this
cool.
one?
No, I haven't. It's kind of blowing my mind. So you play as a cop that's trying to stop people from stealing.
Yeah, the person with the gamepad is two cops.
Good cop,
so
bad cop.
What happens if I play with just two players?
I think it's one person that's the cop
and
one person that's not, and then the three CG characters.
I'll just be playing with two, I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty sure it's CG.
CG?
Or that's, what is it? Computer controlled. Yeah. CC.
Audrey, maybe we can play online in Nintendo's yet to be announced online infrastructure.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be up and running.
But no, this game is really fun. Because
really fun.
You also have to work together to get some of the candy. Like you stand in front of a tree and there's two little pressure pads, so you have to get the other guy to come over. So, you know, since you're sitting in the same room, if you're not playing online with the amazing online infrastructure be announced by Nintendo, like you call your friend, you're like, run over here. And then the guy, of course, with the control pad knows exactly where you're going.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think some of the best games in this collection rely on people communicating within a room. Like, you don't want to play these games online. You want to sit there and play them in a room. And like, a lot of them are like there's a Mario one in which one person can just stand in the corner and look at this entire level and tell the other people where Mario is running, and they're all trying to catch Mario. So it's like you have to communicate a lot.
Yeah,
you use colors. You're like, he's in the yellow area.
Exactly.
At the top.
When I was there, people were like, she's in red. It's like, damn it.
And so, and on the very opposite end of that, there's also kind of like single player mini games, and one of them is the Donkey Kong Crash Course, which is a tilt based like kind of. You know, it's based on a Donkey Kong looking level, but really you're just like kind of doing one of those old marble mazes where you're like rolling a thing through.
It uses the gyro to move.
This is basically the world's most psychotic construction site. For anybody to actually build this as a construction site is just not to code.
The thing about a lot of these games is that they are more challenging than you would think.
Right.
Like, you're going to have to play them a lot to actually get in the swing of them and get really good.
I think they should make Donkey Kong Crash Course into an arcade machine, and then you just sit there and you just rock it back and forth.
you don't realize how touchy
these
controls are when you watch this, right? It's actually really hard. It's kind of like
these levels are huge too.
Yeah.
Takes
me back to the early N64 days where they had these irritating electric stick games. Have you guys ever heard about them? That's like a literal translation from the Japanese.
Electric stick?
Yeah, in Japanese arcades, they used to have this thing where you have, like, literally holding this metal pole.
You
slide it through a maze. And so...
When are those from? I thought that was like an early circus attraction thing.
It must have been. And
it doesn't shock you then.
When I was in Japan in the early 90s, they were popular there in arcades. And then they, of course, appeared on the PlayStation, on the N64.
It's like Operation.
Yeah. And they were called Irritating Electrics.
That's great. I love that. So let me just go quickly over some of the games in this package that we're going to be seeing and talking about. There's we've already seen Animal Crossing Sweet Day. We've seen Donkey Kong Crash Course. There's also Balloon Trip Breeze, based on Balloon Fight. Mm-hmm. Captain Falcon's Twister Race, which is based on F-Zero. Cool to see some F-Zero representation. Mm-hmm. The Legend of Zelda Battle Quest, which I think is kind of a weak game based on Zelda. Luigi's Ghost Mansion, my personal favorite. Mario Chase.
Why do they call it that? Luigi's Ghost. They don't call all of his other mansions that are full of ghost Luigi's
I know,
ghost
funny.
Mansions. They
just call them I think it's supposed to be like a ghost house in a or ghost, you know, like in a park. It's like a theme park attraction.
Well, they don't want people to hear the title and be like, I'm going to have a mansion, and then it's all haunted.
Well, they changed to Luigi.
You know, it's
like,
because
oh,
they
your
don't
uncle
want people
gave you a mansion.
They don't want people to think like this game comes with Luigi's mansion.
Also,
yeah.
They want you to be excited that you don't just go into a mansion and just sit at a table and sip coffee.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I don't live in your house, Per. I don't get to do these things.
We don't.
He just calls it Friday.
I share in a one-bedroom apartment with my girlfriend. I don't have a mansion. I would love to have a mansion video game.
So there's also a Metroid Blast.
Get on it, Nintendo.
Mario Chase, Pikmin Adventure, Takamaru's Ninja Castle. No idea what that's based on, honestly. I don't
it's based on Takamaru as a ninjas.
Yeah, I don't know. And then two that nobody's seen yet called Yoshi's Fruit Cart and Octopus Dance based on Game & Watch. Nobody's seen those
yet. Oh, really?
Yeah. Isn't that cool? We haven't. There's still games we haven't seen.
We just know the title. We haven't seen anything of them.
But yeah, the Takamaru game, I never played it either, but I know of them. They, you know, they debuted on the Famicom back in the days, long time ago in
Japan.
Nice
pronunciation.
And I think there was actually in Smash Brothers there was
a trophy
based
I think
on
so,
Takamaru
yeah.
as well. So,
was that not a Miyamoto series? Am I incorrect? I feel like I remember that.
Well,
it might be crazy.
He made a game about demons.
It's true.
Mania.
Go play it.
We're seeing one that I think everybody here has played right now, which is the Legend of Zelda game called Legend of Zelda Battle Quest. I'm going to actually scrub back to the beginning of this. This is a game in which you just kind of walk around and smack stuff with your sword. It's kind of like the Battle Me part of... Not Battle Me. And Wii Sports Resort.
Right.
It is
Wii Sports Resort. Yeah.
Now, I don't know in this one what you do with the Wii U gamepad.
Oh, you're the bow and arrow
guy. Archer, yeah.
You're the archer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you can play with the sword.
You can lift up the gamepad and aim with it. You see how the archer in the lower left corner is aiming freely? That's basically the gamepad
cool.
held up in front of you, right?
Yeah. And
so do you know what
here.
You're seeing in it? Is that the
you
screen?
Can zoom,
that's
right?
the lower screen.
Yeah, you can zoom. And the thing to remember here is that you're all sharing the same health meter. So if one of you gets hit, you all lose a heart.
Yeah.
Can I
so
say
you have to work together.
What a weird freaking split screen.
I know we've seen
different ways of this the screen split in the past with the heart meter in the middle and stuff, but
yeah,
this is
a
weird.
Three screen split screen with the corner cut off two of the screens and a very small screen in the lower
left.
Well,
I think the lower left they kept the aspect ratio the same as the gamepad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I don't know why those hearts command so much attention up there.
it looks a little strange. I almost wish like the gamepad was the only view for the archer and it was a more traditional split screen, but whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to play it more before we like it more. I thought this one was okay.
It's like a simple first-person brawler, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think brawlers or beat-em-ups are like that compelling of repeating games.
But,
like, it's fun to play through once.
But it's on rails. It's not. You're not in control of your character, so you are in control of the sword. Yeah,
yeah, you sort of move them around as it keeps moving forward.
Okay.
I mean, you can see the sword is fully mapped to the Wii remote, so it's like you aren't... You know, the thumbstick just pop up the shield. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. It's like that first Wii Dragon Quest based kind of sword fighting game. You know, kind of on rails
comment. Exactly.
And it works. You know, when I tried the demo, it was still a work in progress, and it didn't map the sword controls all that well. But it seems like it's as good as kind of Twilight.
I don't recognize some of these enemies in the game too. I thought that was interesting. Maybe we'll expand the Zelda universe. What
really?
Games do you think this takes place during?
It showed a couple of them. Don't start that timeline
right
stuff.
After Minish Cap,
but,
I think.
In alternate dimension timeline C.
This is when everybody dies and comes back as knitted characters. So it's a Yoshi story.
It's
crossover.
In the same continuity as Kirby's Epic Yarn. It's crossover universe.
But it does have
does Kirby
have
a timeline?
And all that kind of stuff.
Maybe, I don't
Kirby
know.
Kirby does have a timeline.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
did that come out
sort
in the box
timeline
set?
Timeline type thing in the box set.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's his
name. So this is another great game. This is Mario Chase. Now, we all played this, I think, when the Wii U was first shown as Find Me. I think that's what it was called. It was
no,
a tech
that's
demo.
The 3DS thing. It was called
Chase
Me.
Chase Me.
Chase
yeah.
Me.
Yeah. And yeah, Chase Me became the two tech demos we saw at the E3 before last was Chase Me and Battle Me. Mm-hmm. Chase Me became Mario, this one, what's it called?
Mario Chase.
Mario Chase, yeah. And Battle Me became the Metroid one.
Mm-hmm. So what's the objective here? I just see a bunch of people.
I know. There. So the four
people chase you.
four people are trying to catch Mario, and Mario is being controlled by the Wii U gamepad.
Yeah, people using Wii remotes.
And Mario has a top-down view of the entire area, so he can just avoid everybody. He can see the people on this map. He can just avoid everybody really easily. So these people have to use first person and this kind of like kind of system of lookouts and stuff like that.
Shouting to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The cool thing is there are multiple levels you can play through in this. So like this is the first one, I believe. It's pretty standard. But there's another one that has like mud everywhere that slows you down if you walk through it, leaves tracks, your cool. Footprints.
So they're kind of like Mario Kart battle mode levels or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think varying levels of difficulty.
What most people haven't seen is that each attraction, there are actually multiple levels. So it's not like Wii Sports where we kind of walked away and we said, well, that would be fun if there was another arena.
Exactly. Yeah.
These
have
multiple.
It's more fleshed out than Wii Sports was.
It's a little more. Not each one has like three levels. You know, like, well, this one has one.
We haven't even played it all, but there's 12 attractions and they've each got their own set of levels.
So this one has a quicksand level, which I played, which is really funny, where you're like dragging through quicksand and it really slows you down. And then it has another one that's just kind of. Well, actually, they wouldn't let us play the other one. I think about it. I was playing this game with a bunch of little kids at this family event for Wii.
Yep.
It was the only one I could get into, and there was, you know, very, very young kids. Like, I don't know how old they are. They're 4 feet high, you know? No idea. And they'd say, like, what level do you want to play next? And then they would all try to choose that one, and the woman, you know, who was not used to dealing with kids, would just be like, oh, that one we're not allowed to see yet. And they're just like, why?
Yeah.
They're like, I can click on it. You know, they have no idea.
I actually took my kids. I have 3 kids, so that I you're part of the problem team, there. Right? And so I brought them along, and like every time they would switch anything in the Nintendo Land attractions, like they'd turn off the TV, and like the lady would look at the gamepad and go, like, we can't show this yet. I'm like, come on.
That's ridiculous.
It's Nintendo Land.
It's a mini game collection. What are you going to spoil? Yeah.
Well, there was a green level.
Don't mind us.
It's not like War Secrets or something. It's
exactly. There are Mii's on the menu.
Like, there's a Yoshi hat.
Yep.
So this is a pretty intense. This is probably the one that has the most like art related to a game. I think like this one is like totally Metroid. It's not really Metroid Prime. It's kind of is. But basically, Metroid Blast is also in one of the tech demos we played. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was Battle Me.
And we even at the time were like, I even wrote an article that was like, this is the secret Metroid game.
I believe it still had Samus' ship in it when it was Battle Me.
Yeah, I played this with a bunch of people.
I don't remember this one at all. Can you guys explain this one?
I think somebody plays as the ship and they're flying around, might be in first person.
They use the gamepad to fly around.
Yeah, they use the gamepad to fly around and they're shooting all these Samuses. So Samus is fighting her own ship, which makes no sense, but neither does a Nintendo theme park.
Well, no, that's one of the modes. There's also co-op where you work together with the ship.
Oh, yeah,
against enemies.
Right.
So there's like a, you know, incoming Metroid-based enemies co-op challenge as well, where you work together. And then there's the straight up death match where you try to take out the ship.
I think I can see Reggie in the reflection.
Yeah.
A lot of these were taped off screen at E3 in the back area of Nintendo. I recognize that area. This is where Reggie watched you play.
We fit.
Interesting. The two on foot players control with the nunchuck and the remote, and so they can aim just like in Metroid Prime, only that it's third person. But the gamepad control is completely different. You can actually tilt the gamepad to control the ship at the same time as you aim, and you can actually zoom in as well and see your zoom in level on the screen.
Yeah, and they're like places to, if you're playing as the Samus people, you can also like grapple to certain areas on the map and go into your morph ball and all kinds of stuff. And
I like the cute little 8-bit graphics.
Yeah,
at the end.
Really cool. Yeah, that's cool. And you can see there's like a Norfair level and there's a couple other.
I like that little like theme park
Ridley shows up. It's pretty
photo
cool.
Gallery they show you at the end of all the fun times you had today.
Were they taking pictures of your face?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
Also, like, I mean, it's got three modes that we know of: free for all, team, and horde.
This looks so good.
Yeah, so there's a balloon fight game that's just balloon fight. It just is. You just play with a stylus, and it has like this really cool kind of like paper cardboard background.
Thing.
It's really appealing to me. I don't know, like when I think about it, I like balloon fight for 10 minutes. So they're gonna. I'm glad they're adding more, but like I don't know how much.
This is really cool, actually. This is the one I'm most excited to play again. It's just. I don't know.
I want to see a gritty, futuristic balloon
fight.
And the
funny, the farther you go along, the more days that pass, the farther you get to the left, in other words, just the more challenging it gets to start. There's rain, there's lightning, there's all kinds of obstacles and bad guys.
Do you think this blew people's minds in like 1985? They're like, wait, you go to the left?
Yeah, it blew my mind in 1985. I mean, Balloon Fight was one of my original favorite co-op games. Like, to get two people to play Balloon Fight and just go through all the levels is really fun because you're helping each other, but you can also totally screw them over.
Now, those are different levels than this. This was a thing called Balloon Trip.
Yeah, the one that was like an infinite run to the to the left. Yeah.
Speaking of Balloon Fight multiplayer, we're still waiting for that Nintendo on our 3DS. Remember the promise?
I don't remember the promise.
Yeah, they promised that they were adding multiplayer to the NES titles on 3DS, the Ambassador ones.
But this one is single player only, is that correct?
Well, no, so we don't know. Like, I would assume they would have. So the original Balloon Fight is like a joust type game, mainly. And that's where you're like two people and you're flying at each other and trying to pop each other's balloons. I mean, it is joust. And then like anybody will get that reference, I guess. But it's like it's a single screen and you run around and you try to pop each other's balloons. And then I think they'll probably have a multiplayer version.
I don't think so. Because they listed this under in the demo video, they listed this under single player attractions. Yeah, and that kind of confused me. To me, this is like the most iPad like of games in the whole collection. Yeah. Like, you show this to people who know iPad games and they get it. Yeah. You know? It's very touchscreen focused. I'm happy there's no like dumb blowing in the microphone or anything involved.
I really hope that doesn't have a presence anywhere in any of these games.
Well, do you think? Well, it has a microphone, so it could, I guess.
Don't give them any ideas.
Yeah, it's been 6 or 7 years since I've blown into DS, I believe. So, are you guys excited about this being a pack-in? Like, the more you play it, or does it still seem like pretty
lame? I mean, I'm getting it for free. Yeah, so I'm playing the heck out of it.
It's one of those things
where you're paying for it. Come on, yeah, you are paying for it.
Well, we can explain that real quick. The premium package is $249 in the United States. The basic package is $199.
Yeah,
No,
$299, $349.
Yes.
Not $199.
Wow. Yeah, that'd be a great deal.
You're talking about
So for $50 more, you are getting this game and some like trash.
Well, you're getting 32 gigs of space. Yeah, a little bit more space. And a cradle.
That's the trash. Yeah. That's the trash. But we don't know about
Audrey, this is so weird because I'm sitting here and I'm looking at you over your shoulder. Is you over your shoulder playing that game? There's this weird, like, Audrey Inception thing going on.
Balloon Inception.
Do you know? Do you need the cradle? For, you know, the demos they've shown of Pikmin so far were all the challenge modes where you don't actually use the gamepad to play and you prop up the gamepad almost like a sensor
both
bar,
of
right?
Both of the times that I've played Pikmin, they made me use the Wii Remote and you had to have it propped up. I assume you could theoretically just have it laying on your coffee table or something, but it wouldn't work as well.
They're doing some really cool stuff with that. I'm really glad I got the version with the stand because I know, like, Call of Duty, if you put it up, it works as a map and you basically have a second screen.
You could use a glass of whiskey or something to prop it up, which works too. Which I know.
But then, how would you get to your whiskey? No, I
can't buy whiskey. I spent the $50 extra.
I think it's pretty cruel to withhold the stand from everybody who didn't pay $50 more. No, I think that's kind of silly.
It's whatever.
Why make that the premium thing?
There's going to be a stand black market.
By the way, this one, the Pikmin Adventure one. It's called Pikmin Adventure Tame the Wilderness.
Mm-hmm. Whoa! It has a subtitle.
Yeah, each game has a subtitle. If you check
Tame the Wilderness?
If you check the IGN wiki, you can find out what they want.
That's so imperialistic.
Yeah. But this one really pissed off my kids.
Haven't played this one.
Because
please explain.
I played as Olimar, and you have this button where you can whistle.
That's Mario mixed up, by the way.
Huh?
Mario mixed up Olimar.
Yeah, Olimar is back like rearranged. Yeah, but when you as Olimar, you play with a gamepad, you can bash enemies, and the enemies are basically theme park versions of Bulborbs and whatnot. They're little robot versions, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in an incredibly creepy manner, they can actually eat you and poop you out. And you are basically stuck in this wooden turd construction.
See, this is the only one I wish was a real theme park attraction.
Exactly. I don't know if we're going to see the wooden turd here, but it's amazing. So, but what happens is, as Olimar, you can whistle, and you summon Pikmin, but you also summon the other Pikmin players around you, so the other players, and it just pisses players off.
You can be really annoying with that if you want to be.
Yeah.
Like, you lose control when Olimar calls you over?
Yeah, he basically,
can he do anything useful?
Huh?
Can he do anything,
he can bash just like they can.
Huh.
And Olimar has these regular Pikmin too that he can throw.
Paris, is this the first game with playable poop?
I have never seen playable poop or blue poop in any game before. This is amazing.
So were your kids getting mad because you were Olimar?
Somebody's going to write it.
They were beating up an enemy, and I would whistle, and they would be taken away from the action. And I think that could be an issue, just gameplay-wise. It could get a little annoying when you're a Pikmin, you know? And like, so everybody's going to want to play Olimar because you can be the jackass.
Yeah. So back to the question, though. Are you guys happy about this being the pack-in? I mean, I would prefer Mario Wii U. That's kind of the angle I'm going for with this.
I mean,
that's the one that I wish they had packed in, because there's network, obviously, and stuff.
Of course you'd prefer that, because that's the one you are otherwise going to buy.
Yeah.
So, I like launching with a Mario game. You think so? You think that's the plan? That's very clever, actually. It didn't occur to me.
I think the variety pack makes a lot of sense, because it's kind of like a sampling of everything that Nintendo is famous for, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you get in all these franchises in kind of a different way, and so it markets those franchises.
Yeah.
And it's also a game that has all these different multiplayer modes. And if you don't like one, or maybe Mario is too hard for some, like, grandma or grandpa, this game has something that everybody can play.
Yeah, I think they really do, especially want to introduce some of their more obscure franchises like Pikmin to the general casual audience. And at the same time, just like Wii Sports, this sort of just gives you a general showing of what the system can do. So you see all the Wii capabilities, you see what the tablet can do in various scenarios. So
yeah,
I think that's also
I put together a very quick history of Nintendo pack-ins. We got the NES, the Super Mario Brothers. Now, a better comparable, more comparable thing maybe would be Super Mario Brothers World Class Track Meet and Duck Hunt. That's kind of like Nintendo Land, actually. Yep. It's a bunch of different franchises, multiplayer games. Anyway, then we got the Game Boy with Tetris. I think it's hard to top that.
Yep.
Super Nintendo, Super Mario World does top that,
I guess. that was amazing.
Yeah. Virtual Boy, Mario Tennis.
That was not
amazing.
That
was a pack-in?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then
I think the Virtual Boy was packed in with Mario Tennis.
Yeah.
Here's my personal favorite. Nintendo 64, nothing.
Yeah.
Yep. Game Boy Advance, nothing. GameCube, nothing. Nintendo DS, a bad demo of Metroid. And then Wii Sports. So really, we haven't had pack-ins in a long time, like a decade until Wii Sports, and that was a pretty damn good pack-in.
And then maybe, again, this is we're in the U.S. here, right? So it may be different in the country that you're that you experience these consoles in.
Yeah, if you grew up in Japan, you didn't get Wii Sports
in
as a
Japan,
pack-in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It wasn't a pack-in.
You paid $50 for it.
Is that true?
Yeah. That's true,
and
yeah.
And you liked
to pay for it.
Wow.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's brutal.
So you
it's
know,
like not including the power cable with the 3DS Lite. That's true.
If it was different in your country, post in the comments what the pack-in was for.
Yeah,
for
I'm kind of curious about that.
Territories, we'd like to know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know like the NES wasn't as popular in Europe, right? So like, what do you think they had there?
There's the co-op mode in the Metroid Blast game.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
So you're working together. Actually, he's hanging on to the ship and now firing at the enemies.
I have an Australian PAL NES cart that has. Super Mario Brothers, Tetris, and World Cup Soccer in it.
Wow.
Isn't that weird? Yeah. That's a kind of a cool pack-in. Yeah, but soccer, who knows? Yeah, so this is the Metroid Blast. I guess what you're saying is, like, this is the gamepad view. Right?
You know what's weird? No matter what.
But this
character...
isn't on the screen. This is like a special video.
Yeah, on the left, that's the gamepad. But on the
nobody
right,
sees that.
All those characters look like Reggie. Look at them. Don't they all look like Reggie?
Well, he's a megalomaniac pair. He wants to put himself in everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you saw the Morph Ball too. You can of course use the Morph Ball.
Do you think this is going to be one of the games that has like more lasting value? Like this is the one that'll be a little bit competitive, like kind of deathmatchy.
It depends on what exactly how good kind of the stats tracking and everything is. If it's like super casual, then I think it'll get old after a while because you know you either win or you lose. You want a little bit more. You want to have something to work towards, right?
Like high scores and stuff.
What I'm wondering is how they're going to like frame these with like who gets the gamepad. Like, are you going to be able to enter a mode that's like, okay, here's five turns, and this is how it's going to shuffle, and it's going to tally. You
like
know
it
what
has
mean?
All, like it has all of your Miis, and
yeah,
it
exactly.
chooses who's.
Or
that would be really cool.
Is it just
going to
be anarchy? Is it just going to be like grab the gamepad and go?
Maybe it has the bully feature, like the Wii is like, hey, you've been playing for a while, now turn it off.
Per will just give it to the child he loves the most.
That's right. Oh, that's
and
easy.
The rest have to play with the Wii modes.
You've
from
still
10
got
years
a month
ago.
To decide, Per. Don't worry.
No, I told him the gamepad is daddy mode, so they never get to use it. Also, it breaks. And you know when kids use touchscreen devices, like barnacles form on them really quickly? Yeah, so they can't have them.
I'm skipping ahead to the F-Zero gameplay because nobody's seen this yet. And this also gives us a little bit of frame of what I was just talking about. There's actually a theme park where everybody can
walk around
and like I don't know,
it's
do something. We don't know anything about that.
It's sort of
right?
the hub area, I believe, where you can go and you can see terrible. All the different attractions you can actually
guys,
go to.
Guys, this looks absolutely awful. I thought
this
looks,
come on, it's just a toy F-Zero. What is your problem with it?
I'm a huge F-Zero fan, and this is like
you're not that big.
If I went to Disneyland and they had an F-Zero attraction and this is what it looked like, I would vomit. Yeah. Up my curly fries.
What if at 60 frames per second?
I would still vomit.
You'd give it a 9 and then vomit.
What the?
Oh, okay.
I want a better Bob.
And this is, we should clarify, it was still under construction, right?
Yeah,
so that wasn't
the
final
game,
but I hope it's a little better than that.
Mm-hmm.
I do too.
So this Takamaru's Ninja Castle game is one that I find... like it's interesting, but it feels very Wii. Like it's like this is based on an activity that you can do with your Wii, your gamepad, but it's not really a deep game.
It's
or anything
like the remember that EA minigame collection that had like only 1.5 minigames in it that came out for the Wii. It was actually really nicely done, but it didn't have a lot.
Why would we remember that? That sounds terrible.
It had a good
Brian
ninja
is mesmerized
star.
Right now. By the way,
it had a good ninja star throwing game in it. By the way, this is based on the Japanese Famicom Disk System game Nazo no Murasamejo.
Thank
which
you.
Is like. The mysterious Murasame Castle.
Okay. And did that game ship with a giant screen gamepad?
No, it didn't.
Like back in 1988, and they're just basing the entire system on that?
No, and it's not like as cutesy as this. This is obviously the cutified version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was an EAD game as well.
Sam, I think Brian and I are going to have to
bail
out on you about
now. I have two letters that I can read. Can you guys stick around for that?
Nope.
Okay.
Well,
how short are they?
We can keep on going, Sam. I don't think we need them.
That's true.
Can I read one letter?
Okay.
Read
okay.
one letter. Go.
NBC, I have an urgent question. Why is Pokemon not represented in Nintendo Land? This is supposed to be a game featuring Nintendo's beloved franchises, on and on and on. Now, this is from Alex, and he makes a good point. No Star Fox either.
It's a great point. The only thing I can even think of for Pokemon, because that's a huge miss that would have gotten a lot of people excited, is that they didn't want it to step on PokePark. Because that's another franchise they have.
And you were saying DLC.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and
Nintendo
it could also
Land
be
Resort.
Available in DLC.
That would be really smart if they unlocked more more things.
I totally expect that. Yeah. They haven't announced anything to that effect, but I really, really see it coming.
Yeah, and then the question is maybe, you know, like the Wii games have been pretty terrible with unlockables, but how cool would that be if this, like Smash Brothers, actually had some real unlockables?
Yeah, exactly.
Like a Star Fox attraction.
Yeah.
It seems like a no-brainer, right?
I know.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for joining us for another Nintendo Video Chat. You can chat directly with us or at us by writing nvc@ign.com. If you want to see the video version of the podcast, head over to IGN or YouTube. It is quite awesome. Thanks for joining us, and see you guys next time.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rain Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.